So I don't have any overhead. I don't have a handout. If you want something to follow, open God's word. I'm going to be going through the scripture line by line. So if you want to do that with me, that would be great. But I'll be reading it out as we go along. So we're at the point now, 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to start right out with the first line. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Wait a minute, there's that word therefore again, as Margot pointed out to us. Every time we see the word therefore, we should stop and ask, what is it there for? So let's ponder that. And I'm going to actually back up, because what I think Peter is referring to is, let's go back, because of what he's already said, this previous idea, we're going to back up to the end of chapter 3. It, referring to baptism, saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Look at Jesus now, Peter is saying. Look at his place of authority. He's at the right hand of God. Jesus is victorious. Through his sufferings, he's defeated death and is in charge of all there is. He is ruling from a place of authority, and we can endure this life and the sufferings that we go through because he went before us. He's shown us the way. So now we can continue on with chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Just as Christ won his victory after or through suffering, Peter is saying, so shall we. Now, this doesn't mean that we will never sin again. It's not so much that we that sin has gone away and we're living in a state of sinless perfection, but rather we have renounced the power of sin in our lives to keep us bound and separate from God. Jesus has paid the price to break that bond and to bring us into relationship with God the Father. Peter uses a military term here, arm yourselves, to remind us that we are in a battle against principalities and powers. Yes, Jesus won the ultimate victory and will return again to rule in perfect justice and love, but as we walk this earth, we are in a battle with the devil and his lies. We need to be of like mind with Jesus, in that it's more important to serve than to be served. It's more important to love others and put their needs and rights even before our own. And we have to understand that if we do not showcase the selfless love of God in the very everydayness of our lives, some in our lives may never know that God loves us so much. Continuing on with verse 2, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Peter here calls his listeners to be done with their past selfish lives, and we are called to break with our past way of living, of finding significance for our lives either in the pleasures and possessions we sought to complete us, or in the building of good opinions of others, and so feeling a place of belonging. Are we seeking God's good way and approval over everyone else's? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm a firstborn, type A, people pleaser, whose love language is words of affirmation. So I want to please every side with every decision I make, and I want to hear what a great job I'm doing while I'm doing it. But I've learned that it's not other people's opinion of me that matters most. It's God's opinion. I need to keep going back to his word to see what I need to be focusing on, to see where my life should be leading. It's a painfully slow process sometimes, and I really need God's word, and I need all of you ladies keeping me accountable to being in God's word. And that's one of the reasons I love this study. I have a place that expects me to be there every week and expects me to have done my lesson. So that means I had to spend time in God's word sometime during that week. So that's twice in 1 week that I'm expected to be in God's word. And that is so helpful to me. I need that accountability. And I'm so thankful for all of you ladies. As we continue on with verse 4, they are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The reality of living as a Christian should be countercultural. Are we experiencing that? How do I reflect my Christianity in my lifestyle, my attitude, and my conduct? Do I retaliate with harshness or vengeance, or do I respond with a gentle, humble attitude, leaving judgment to God? Do my behavior, dress, and attitude reflect the gospel which I represent? We were talking in the leadership time about extending grace, and I love that idea, and I told Joanne, who brought that to our attention, that I need that on my car right in front of me on the steering wheel, because I am such a type A. Everyone should know how to drive. Why can't they do it properly? There are rules for the road for a reason. No, we don't stop and let someone else go because that's not the right of way, right? So I need that reminder each and every day, because I find that as I go negative, I'm saying those things out loud in front of my kids. What are they learning? How are they understanding what grace means and how to extend it? So, Joanne, thank you. I'm going to start adopting. And every time I find myself starting to tell someone what they should be doing, just saying, I'm extending grace to that person. God gave me grace. God forgave me. I can extend it to someone else. So another countercultural, even in some churches today, is to preach God as judge. It seems like in this day and age, we want to make sure that our neighbors understand that God is love. And that is important. But if we preach God as love and not holy, we are cutting God short. He is a holy God that expects holiness of us. Now, we can't do that on our own. The reason we need Jesus is because we are a sinful, broken people, and God is holy. We need that bridge gap, that gap bridged, and we can't do it on our own. That's what Jesus did for us. God is perfect and has created us for a purpose. That plan and purpose is laid out in his word, and we will be judged by it. Now, judgment is not the same as condemnation, okay? We will come before the judge's throne. God is the ultimate judge of the entire world. But if we trust in Jesus, we have someone who stands before us and justifies us because of his shed blood for us. And we are not condemned. We will be judged, but because of Jesus, there is no condemnation. So as we know God the Father as a loving Father, we submit to his good design for us in his word, as we live in his world, and that we might reflect him to others. Now, that previous passage talked about the gospel being preached to even those who are now dead, and we had an extended conversation about that, thanks to Rachel, in our small group time, and there are some different opinions as to what that means. When Jesus died, did he descend to hell and preach to the dead? Or does this mean, as I believe it's Romans, refers to none of us have an excuse. God's revelation is in his creation. From the beginning of time, God has laid out his plan of redemption. Therefore, no human can get away from the fact that they've had some interaction with God, their creator, and therefore they're called to a decision. Do they follow God or do they follow themselves? And so there are two varying opinions there. We talked about leadership. If you'd like to continue to talk about it at group time, please do so. We don't want you to go away confused. It's okay to have a difference of opinion, but it's also good to be reminded, what is the focus of this passage? The focus of this passage is that Jesus paid the price for us, suffered, and so we can move through our life and the sufferings we endure in victory in Christ and with a transformed life that he can give us. So continuing on with verse 4, continuing on with verse 7. Here we are. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So I want to just stop us there and take an inventory of you. You're in the midst of life, in the midst of kids, or the midst of work, just getting through life. What are the gifts that God has entrusted to you? He created you to be exactly as you are. He knew that you would have the strengths and the weaknesses that you would have. But he's given you specific abilities and specific gifts to use for the building of his body. Are you using them? And I'll say with a caveat here, there are different seasons of your life. There are seasons when you are so busy with just taking care of your family that you cannot even imagine stepping outside and serving any other group. And then there are seasons in your life where all of a sudden you have more time on your hands. Where are you using your gifts? Are you looking around at church and saying, where can God use me? Just to also be careful with this one, because God may ask you to do something you never thought of before, or you didn't think you had the gifts for. And those of you who know me might know this story, but I've been in women's ministry for quite a long time. But when my eldest was in kindergarten, I heard God saying, go serve with the children. I was like, no, Lord, you gifted me for women's ministry, not for children's ministry. I don't know if I can do this. But I kept hearing the prompt. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do VBS. Anybody can do 1 week, right? And it's just the morning, 5 mornings. I can do this. So I did Vacation Bible School, and our church is one of the few that offers Vacation Bible School to preschoolers. And I said, okay, I can do this. I can do VBS with preschoolers, because I guess Morgan wasn't quite in kindergarten yet. So I went and I served. And I fell in love with those preschoolers. They were amazing. They were so much fun. And I said, okay, Lord, you got me. And I'm teaching my third grade Sunday. I'm not teaching, I'm assisting in that class. But I've been in and out of teaching roles and assisting roles in Sunday school ever since my youngest was in pre-K. And she's a freshman in high school now. So it's been a few years. So I'm still in women's ministry, but God said, step out of your comfort zone and serve somewhere else too. And it's been a blessing. It really has been. So are you using your gifts? This passage calls us to love each other deeply. Not just love each other, not just say, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. Love each other deeply. That doesn't come automatically. And I think we as women understand that. It takes relationship. It takes time, and it takes caring. We need to work on it. So as Kyle Wisdom preached from the pulpit on Sunday, Courtney's here today. You can go say hi to her. Maybe we need to stop and listen to someone's story. Maybe we've given all that we can give, and we feel like we can't care anymore, as he put it. But if you stop and listen to someone's story and enter in with them, you start to understand the things that have built them into the person that what they're going through. You start to have compassion for them and you can love them more deeply. Sometimes with those sandpaper people, you know, the ones that rub you the wrong way, it's becoming their cheerleader. Notice something about them that you truly appreciate. And tell it to yourself. And not only to yourself, speak it to others. It's the truth. This person is doing a great thing. They might not be your best friend, but you can support them and you can be their cheerleader. The idea here that love covers over a multitude of sins doesn't mean that love gets rid of those sins or that it's an excuse to sin more, but rather loving one another means forgiving those sins against you, and therefore it's covered in forgiveness. Who in your life do you need to forgive? Ask God to give you the ability to forgive and love that person. Even though you may not feel forgiving towards someone, if you act out in love towards that person, find a way to show them love, God can bring our feelings into alignment with our actions and his will along the way. Verse 11 goes on, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. It's not the end of the chapter yet, but here it seems like Peter's giving a benediction, and it appears to conclude his thoughts on living for Christ. Share the gospel through words and actions, and to God be all the glory. If we know the surpassing love of God, why wouldn't we want to share that joyful relationship with others? Before we share, though, we need to be experiencing that love. We need to be filled up with that love in order to let it pour through us. So again, I loved Kyle Wisdom's encouragement to use our sanctified imaginations and to visualize ourselves as being bathed in God's love and approval, as Jesus was at his baptism. I have to admit, when Kyle said, picture yourself in Jesus' place, I was like, I can't do that. That was Jesus and the Father. That's a special relationship. But you know what? We're his children. He created us and he loves us. You are the king's daughter. So I'm going to give you the chance to do that here and now, because I love the challenge to go do that on your own. But how many of us think, oh yeah, we'll do that, and you get off and running with the week? So I'm going to have you put your Bibles down, your pens, your papers, whatever's in your hands. I want you to just be free to get into a comfortable position. Open your hands, if you can, and place them on your thighs so that you're open to what God has for you. Feel free to close your eyes or to look upwards or downwards, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And I want you to breathe deeply. Breathe in and breathe out. Again, breathe in the life that God has given you, and breathe out any disappointments or frustrations. Breathe in the light of life, and breathe out doubt and discouragement. Know you are a child of God. He has created you and he loves you. Picture his light of love flowing down from above upon you, and know that he delights in you. Continue to breathe deeply as you listen for God's affirming words to you right now. All the days of your life were known to him before you were born. He loves you, his creation, no matter what. He has given his only son, Jesus, so that you might be in his presence, in his love, in relationship with him. And just as Jesus and those around him saw the dove descend, the Holy Spirit, God has given you the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, and to comfort you. He cares about what you are going through. He wants to know how you are feeling. He wants to be with you every step through this life. Continue to picture his love flowing down upon you in light. Feel his care. Feel his love. Feel his comfort. Breathe in deeply and breathe out loneliness. Breathe in his care and breathe out discontent. Breathe in his love and breathe out tension. Breathe in his comfort, and as you breathe out, you can slowly open your eyes and come back to here and now. Thank you for doing that with me, ladies. Keeping me accountable again. I love it. Now, because Peter knows his identity in Christ, he relates to the Christians here as dear friends. In verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And it is hard for the righteous to be saved. What will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now, today we may not suffer the fiery ordeals as the original audience to this letter may have. Some scholars believe that this community of believers may have fled from the persecution of Nero in Rome, where it was illegal to be a Christian, and some were put to death by being burned. But nonetheless, we are called to suffer in this life. Why? We suffer not to become better, although it can help us do that, or to make us more conscious of a higher world it can do that too, but because Jesus himself suffered, and we are his followers. We are to be imitators of Christ. Some may suffer the consequences of others' sinful actions, some the effects of our fallen world, which include disease and brokenness. I think of friends battling cancer, of friends opening their homes to children who need a stable family support system, and the heartbreak that they endure because they love. I pray that we will walk alongside each other, reminding each other and being the hands and hearts of love that God wants us to be to each other through the suffering. Verse 19 concludes chapter 4 with, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." God has called us to himself to experience his loving grace and acceptance, that we might turn to a hurting world and show them his love. I pray that you are filled to the fullness with God's faithful love, that you might overflow in loving acts to the people he brings across your path this week.